Intricate metric forms begin to be adopted and adapted by European writers.
By travelling through time and transforming himself into Hafiz, Goethe was able to enter into a truly global conversation that was quite other to classical Western literature. Through this visionary tribute to Hafiz, Goethe moved European poetry into a dialogue with the Oriental tradition, a tradition rooted in the lyric mode. His West-Eastern divan plugged poetry back into its musical roots and reintroduced words to the physical pulse of song.
And during the interval of Monday evening's prom at about 8:30 between Beethoven's pastoral and fifth symphonies, Paul Farley explores the real-life love story at the heart of Goethe's West-Eastern Divan. The translations you heard there were by Martin Bidney and David Luke. The readers were Robert Blythe and Susie Riddell, and the producer was Emma Harding. You're listening to BBC Radio 3, the home of the BBC proms. I'm Tom Service. Now, a quick reminder of all the treasures you can find at the website bbc.co.uk/proms. Concert programmes for each prom are available half an hour before each prom starts. You can listen again to every prom for a week that it's available on the iPlayer. There's the archive where you can search every concert that's happened as part of the BBC prom since they began in 1895. And you can download a daily 3-minute proms music guide. All that and more. Applause as the musicians of the West Eastern Divan Orchestra come on stage here at the Royal Albert Hall for the second half of tonight's prom and Beethoven's Eroica Symphony, the next station in Daniel Barenboim's Beethoven cycle with this West Eastern Divan Orchestra. It's a symphony that the orchestra has played many times together, and for tonight's second oboist, Miraf Kadyshevsky, it's a symphony with really special resonance.
This brings back a lot of memories, and at the same time, I can feel how the orchestra has advanced during these years. We've been working with Barenboim, and we've been getting so much from him, and it has changed completely our way of playing and thinking about music, and we've grown mature with his teachings. So, of course, there's a big difference since 2003 and today.
Is every performance you give of the Eroica Symphony, and you must have given the piece, what, a dozen times with the orchestra or something?
Well, I haven't counted
few,
it, actually.
Right?
Yeah, quite a few.
Are they different every time? Is it always a special occasion? Does something special always happen in performance?
Every concert is different. As a human being, you know, every day we are a bit different. You know, it depends what we've gone through during the day. It depends if we've had coffee or not. You know, our heart beats a bit faster or slower, so we feel the tempo a little bit differently. The whole concept of music is something very personal. And since that tends to change a lot, then the music goes through us changing all the time. I mean, music in itself is change. It's never static.
But this piece is going to end the same way it always does, in a blaze of glory, isn't it? It's going to, you know.
Yeah.
Miraf Kadyshevsky, tonight's second oboist in this performance of Beethoven's Eroica Symphony that we're about to hear. Now, the facts of this symphony are startling enough. It was first performed on the 7th of April, 1805, and even after the grand ambition of Beethoven's second symphony that we heard last night, the Eroica amplifies the scale and emotional reach, the cultural and even political ambition of the symphony as a form, as an idea. And Beethoven takes all that to places that no composer had previously dared to imagine. The story of the Eroica's dedication to Napoleon in 1803, and then Beethoven's subsequent erasing of that dedication to Napoleon Bonaparte when he learned that Napoleon had crowned himself emperor, is well known. But the point is, the Eroica, the Heroic, as it was eventually published in 1806, is a moment when the boundaries between instrumental music and cultural meaning start to blur. You see, in no sense is the Eroica Symphony simply a symphonic entertainment. The first movement on its own is as long as most entire 18th century symphonies. The second is a funeral march. The third, a scherzo of new rustic power. Listen out especially for the way that Beethoven uses the symphony's three horns, an innovation that no symphony had ever been written with three horns before. And the finale is a Protean set of variations. But here's the thing. Beethoven's musical material, on its own terms, its notes, the stuff of its notes, demands this new gigantic symphonic scale. And yet, at the same time, it seems to demand an extra musical interpretation as well. Who is the funeral march for? The hero? The old ways of monarchy, a symphonic convention? Or is it a future funeral rite for Napoleon? And that finale that contains, it seems, the whole world in its range of speeds and characters, is it really a simple single resolution or a celebration of human and musical difference and diversity? Well, it's all that and more, of course, as we're about to discover right now, as Daniel Barenboim comes on stage here at the Royal Albert Hall to conduct the West Eastern Divan Orchestra in Beethoven's Symphony No. 3 in E-flat major, the Eroica.
Thank you. Thank you.
the end of Beethoven's Eroica Symphony here at the Royal Albert Hall. Daniel Barenboim, still looking at his orchestra, conducted the West Eastern Divan Orchestra in that performance. He's sort of mopping his brow and seems to be congratulating the members of his orchestra, shaking hands there with the front desks of the string section. And finally, at last, turning to accept this huge applause for the Royal Albert Hall audience. You know, the composer Carl Czerny remembers that first performance of the Eroica. Barenboim again acknowledging the Albert Hall audience. Czerny remembers that first performance in 1805, the 7th of April at the Theater an der Wien in Vienna. And he remembers somebody shouting in the audience, "I'll give a kreutzer if the thing will only stop." Well, the message tonight is that this audience would give many kreutzers, many pounds of these, for that performance to be repeated. Something, of course, you can do at home on the iPlayer for the next 7 days. The oboist, Miroslav Kadachevsky, we were talking to in the orchestra before that performance, said that each performance is special of that piece, each one different. So many things were vital, energized, and new about that performance. So many things to enjoy, and indeed to enjoy again. Now, though, with that applause still ringing in our ears and our brains and bodies here, time to hand you back to Broadcasting House, hand you on to Jonathan Swain for the rest of the evening here on BBC Radio 3. Jonathan.
Tom, thank you very much. Tom's service there at the Royal Albert Hall. And just to add, there's a much earlier than usual start time for Berlioz's Trojans, the prom, tomorrow night, live from the Albert Hall. We'll be back live at the hall for Act One of the Trojans at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. As for tonight's prom, as Tom was saying, you can, of course, listen to it again anytime you like for the next 7 days via the BBC Radio Player. And there's another chance to hear a broadcast of the concert here on BBC Radio 3 this coming Thursday afternoon at 2:00. Barenboim's approach wouldn't have been out of place 40 years ago, wrote the critic for The Independent about last night's first concert in the orchestra's Beethoven cycle at the Proms. And the review went on, having coached its core of players for so long, Barenboim now has at his fingertips his own personal ensemble, which he can play like a piano, so attuned are its members to his musicianship. Jessica Duchin in today's Independent. Well, Chinese life evoked in words and on the bamboo flute is our next programme tonight. That's at 10:00. For the moment, though, Daniel Barenboim, the pianist, in J.S. Bach, the Prelude and Fugue number 16 in G minor from the second book of Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier.
Thank you.
The Prelude and Fugue, number 16 in G minor, from the second book of Bach's Well-Tempered Clavier, and it was played there by Daniel Barenboim. It's just gone 10 o'clock, and now Between the Ears, Radio 3's series of innovative features, presents a second chance to hear a memoir in music, sound and words. The musician, composer and cook Guo Yue, who grew up during China's Cultural Revolution, tells his story in On the Rubble of My Home, I Played My Flute.
I was born in this beautiful city called Beijing. My part of Hutong, which is the little alleys, which is like a maze. The big brick wall, gray color, beside you. And you look up, you can only see the sky. When I was little, I remember life of Hutong is full of different sound. Very, very, very early morning, you hear all the people. The singing voice come out is amazing, and they carry it long way because there's a lot of echo, you know, along the alley. It carries all the way, and you hear people shouting like, "My Xiao Zhi Lou," or "Shou Wei Bin." It's like almost like Peking opera sound, you know, like really like opera sound. And actually, they are selling little chicks and little goldfish, and some people collecting metals, some people collecting curtains. All different shouting sound, but very friendly sound, and you want to get up. So actually, they start 4:30. So once you hear that, you can never sleep again because you feel very excited. Especially, I love the moment when the vegetable people shout, "今天, 西红柿来了, 茄子来了, 土豆!" So it's tomato, aubergine, today arrived. So can you imagine, in our mind, we already had a dish like tomato and aubergine, red and purple, with ginger, with garlic. You already, 4:30, 5 o'clock, start. You have the food, fragrance, in your mind, the perfume come out. So everybody get up and queue up, and the day start. It's beautiful life. I lived in the compound, all five musician family, because my father is a musician, and he plays Chinese violin, which is called er hu, two strings, and has this beautiful sound. I don't remember so much about my father. But I do remember is he plays under the moon, in the courtyard, look at the moon, and play this kind of music. And I used to think it's quite sad, like a dark cloud covered the moon, that feeling. And now I understand, because my father was very ill. I lost my father when I was 5 years old. He worked in this company called Chinese Central Dance and Singing Ensemble. His instrument case, you know, that instrument lay on this beautiful reddish, dark red velvet. I used to think, just for that reason, I want to become a musician. I want to carry an instrument because just open it, it's so beautiful. So from little, every day I hear it's a lot of singing and instrumental playing, shouting between wife and husband because some of them play too loud and the wife wants to do something else. And the most beautiful things musicians like to do is play music and cook. So in the evenings, 5 or 6 o'clock, you hear every place start. or... You hear some people chopping, tired after a whole day. And you hear some people, oh, quite in a thoughtful mood. Thinking about children going to school, work. And some people, completely mad, crazy, love the vegetable so much, want to dance with the vegetable. So from the chopping, you hear people, what do they eat? What they are going to cook tonight? And for example, some people chop like meat, because you can't do this to meat. That is nobody. Yeah, so you have to go. Some people chop like... That's breaking bones, because Chinese people love eat meat. Has to be with bones to break it. So you can see, oh, they're eating meat today. I used to be very jealous because my family can't afford very much meat. So we can only... And my sister used to chop him and singing. And then she goes to the wall, toss the wall, and then have a dance when the potato is cooking. I love this so much. So that image is always in my mind, and I miss that very much, actually. Every day I hear music, so I really wanted to learn an instrument. So I asked my mother if I could have a little bamboo flute. My mother said we couldn't afford. I think it cost less than a penny in my days. But still we didn't have that one penny. So I said to my mother, if you don't buy me the flute, I will lie down outside in the courtyard. Not get up. So cold, snow. And I really did lie down for 2 or 3 hours, I remember. My mother cried, so she said, you can't have a little bamboo flute. My demonstration successful. So ask my neighbor who is wind instrument, who is my early teacher, who took me to this beautiful shop. And I remember, I love the smells of the bamboo. It's so beautiful, it's a red color. He taught me how to start the note. It's so beautiful when you start a single note. I remember that moment. And then I just fell in love with the little bamboo flute. During this difficult period of China, I felt that little bamboo flute made my world so big. I have to practice long note. 1.5 hours to 2 hours a day. Sometimes I go. I stand up, fell asleep. But because that, I think made me can play nice music. And then when he taught me. Oh, I love that because it makes me exciting, you know? So this is amazing sound can lead you to freedom. All I can remember the start of the Cultural Revolution is this big loud speaker sound. Shouting too much, you don't understand, but you know there's something horrible happening. It's like that. But actually they are shouting about, you know, Mao. The loudspeaker sound with big banging on a lot of drums, and this loud cymbals. I think it's quite horrible sound sometimes. Go dang, 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 dang. Peking opera use it. But actually, when I was little, I didn't like that sound very much. And even today, I don't think it does very good to my ears. So they have horrible sound and a lot of singing. Everybody get together. Young people, especially the Red Guard, and have a lot of songs. All I learned during this period is revolutionary songs, music, and the words. And, it's all about communist revolution. This is a song we sing every morning, every evening, every lunchtime, all the time. Everybody. 东方红太阳升中国出了个毛泽东他为人民谋幸福呼儿嘿哟他是人民的救星共产党像太阳照到哪里哪里 Actually, this song is a farmer's after work from the field, you know. 今天我工作了 He sang, the farmer singing, today I finished work. My wife cooked me red stewed pork with star anise, ginger, spring onion. Mao turned to red sun from the east. China come out a Mao Zedong. So he make himself like a sun. In Yunnan province, in Hunan province, like 1,000 miles, so far away, they sing the same note at the same time. And then the whole China sing one note, one song. So of course, I find this is quite nice. There's a lot of music used during the Cultural Revolution. It's all sound. There's a lot of sound around. When I was little, I find it very exciting. But of course, not very excited to see people beaten and until death in front of us. I saw people hanging. It's very difficult to understand. Never heard the word suicide. Because we were only a few years old, 8 years old, 7 years old. So hung himself. And the landlord was beaten by the Red Guard in the courtyard. The Red Guard hand us sticks and bell say, beat him. Do it! We want to run because we just get frightened. We feel very sorry for the people who are marched by the Red Guard on the tracks. There used to be about 20 of them. Have to shave all their head. And in the board, they say, counter-revolutionary, landlord, factory owner, teacher. My mother was a language teacher. She taught English, Russian, and Japanese. For this reason, because she spoke foreign languages, and also, my mother, she wanted to be a modern woman, because in those days, a lot of women still had bounded feet. My mother is the first generation not have bounded feet and can go to university. My mother should have gone to Yan'an, joined Mao, and then my mother would become a big leader and a very important woman. But my mother, she went to Kuomintang school in Sichuan and taught English there and met my father in the school. He was teaching music. So the student one day took her away from us. We were in the courtyard. They say, Zhao Sulin, come on. So they say, you are bad because you are petty bourgeois. 小资产阶级. My mom say, why? Because you love beautiful makeup, you love clothes, you love Russian. We have to get rid of it. We have to get rid of you and all the people like you. The headmaster was accused being intellectual. He was tortured very badly. I remember my mother had to hear his screaming and everything, being beaten. And after a few days, he died. He was tortured until death. And then they called all the teachers, and my mother and her colleague have to carry the dead body marching the school ground just along to show everyone, if you are bad, this is what you get. They took my mother, come with us! And they tortured her. She always say, they are my children. Even the people beating her. And she still say, they are just like my children. I forgive them. And they tortured her, saying, why you speak English? You must be a traitor. You must be spy for England. She was tortured and sent to countryside for 3.5 years to be re-educated. My brother and me, when we were 8, my brother was 12, we look after ourselves. My brother plays this instrument made from many, many bamboo called sheng, which is like a mouth organ. So we both just have something to make us feel secure. I miss my mother at that time. And when I miss a lot of her, I think I play more flute. I use the sound to remember her and very kind of a show off to my mother for what your little son can do with a little bamboo flute. So I practice. When my sister Liang sent to the countryside on the journey in the truck, she met this young man. He is very good singer. He loves singing Western opera so much. He adore all the operas. So he can't stop. Just open his voice and come out with this beautiful opera, such as it's beautiful. And the other one is go. And Chinese adore, they love Italian opera, Puccini. I think a lot of Puccini. So he sung a lot of opera in the field. He can't stop singing Western opera. I think he imagined Western country, Western world, all his life. He wasn't at all worried about getting in trouble. I think in the field, there's really no Red Guard watching the children. They are 15, 16 years old. So they feel like a little bird. They feel free for that little moment. They really have the freedom. If he hadn't been there, my sister wouldn't, you know, start singing. And because he's singing every day, and my sister just can't stop listening because it's so beautiful, the notes and the melody. My sister can't stop to learn from him and sing with him in the field. Because all of this, she auditioned for the army opera house, and because of him, she really successfully got the voice, got the whole thing. It's just from the field, from this young man. Meanwhile, I was still in Beijing with my brother in the courtyard, and there's not much happening in the courtyard because most people sent to the countryside. I remember every day we have one little mirror that I have to put a stool in front and stand on the stool to practice in front of the mirror, because I've been told in front of the mirror see your embouchure, you know, your position of your bamboo flute with your mouth. So every day I practice 2 or 3 hours bamboo flute and just play music. Sometimes I go out to catch some cricket, dragonflies, and just because we didn't allow to have pets. Pets was forbidden. So I can only bond with some wild animals. After 3 years, my mother returned to the alley very weakened. So before she was quite a fast woman. She do things very fast. Now she's slower. I think it's because she worked so hard. During these 3 years, she had to dig the mud from the river. It's very heavy, very hard labor. And one day, she was informed by her student came to the college and said, Zhou Sulin, you can go back to teaching. My mother cried. Tomorrow, you get yourself ready. You come to school, your first lesson. I remember my mother was so excited, like can't sleep. And next day, I remember very clearly, is Nixon, the first American president, visits China. My mother got up very early, just combed her hair, got ready. And then she suddenly said, Xiao Yue, Little Yue, Little Leap Forward. My name in English, Little Leap Forward. Xiao Yue, go to find the people. And she already said, go to find, already can't talk, paralyzed, stroke. Immediately half face, half body can't move. So all she waited to go to school and she couldn't teach anymore. So it's very sad. My generation all have to go to countryside, but me was very lucky because I had my flute. I play music, but I didn't use that just for escape. I really wanted to perform. So I auditioned for a Beijing Army orchestra to perform all over China for the troops in the deep mountains. They need beautiful music to make them feel how beautiful China is and to fight for China. That was my job, to make them cry, to make them love their country. When I joined the army, they gave me 2 boxes, which I love them so much. One is a little box, contains a little silver flute, Western silver flute. The other box is bigger and wooden with 18 bamboo flutes, 18 of them. Imagine I used to have one little bamboo flute cost less than a penny. Now I have 18 bamboo flutes. I think I'm like a king and an emperor. It's so beautiful. They are like, here is your weapon, guard your country. Exactly. So my guarding is play the music and my weapon is the instrument. So I always loved silver flute because it has different tone. Different feeling. When I take the bamboo flute play, immediately I imagine myself on the mountains with Tai Chi, all the people, or revolution marching on the street. When I take a silver flute, I always think I am in this bow tie with dinner suit, like in the concert hall. The one tune I play a lot for the soldiers is called Swallow. It's this tune from Xinjiang province. Xinjiang is like quite far from Beijing. There, the people from Xinjiang province have big nose. For us, they are like foreigner. We always want to hear foreigner music. So the only tune we can play is inside China, but nearly the border with other country. So we feel that is from Western country. In 1982, I obtained a passport because China started to allow people to apply to study in the West. And I got a place at Guildhall School of Music to study Western silver flute. I remember when I got my passport, there was many hundred people around me and never seen a passport in their life. And then my leader said, Guiyue, come here in the office. When you go to the West, you play beautiful music, you learn how to play good concert flute. Another thing you must do is regularly write us a letter to tell us how many homeless people are there in the under the bridge. Now, after that, I came out, I really saw some homeless people under South Bank Bridge. So I thought, do I write letters to them? No, never wrote letters to them. Until now, 30 years, I never wrote one letter. My mother always loved English and taught me English. So for that reason, I also decided to come to England. I want to know more music, more culture. But it is very hard to leave. I remember first I came to England. I even can't sleep in one room on my own because I was frightened. I never slept alone in my whole life. I always surrounded with four sisters, one brother in the same room. But I loved every moment of seeing different culture, different place and different people and different sound. I find I quite liked some of the pop music because it's so new for me. People like Wham, you know, like they went to China. Dear mommy, dear daddy, George Michael is like a god because singing, like, how can you sing like that? We don't know, because so far it's all revolutionary songs. We never heard anything like that. You knew just what he would become. So it's very, very interesting for me. When I was in China, I wasn't allowed to play my own music. I only can play the music they asked me to play. It's like you are in a well before you see a sky. Only that big, like a little round circle. Music is like that. When I come out, I didn't know the sky is this, so big. And the music, you can play so many different notes and mood and melodies and using so many different instruments. In China, I always say, one day I'll write a tune called Mother and Son, which I did. Now here I performed with all different orchestras about, you know, my feeling of my mother, how I see her suffer and how I see her so happy but so sad during the revolution. So I want to use music to describe all this experience. But when I was in China, I wasn't able to do that. But now I have a chance. I can play music from my own heart.